Thank you for standing by and welcome to the Axis Bank conference call, where I'm joined by Eik, CEO of Axis Bank, who will today be presenting both the company's full-year results for the years ended 31st March 2008 and the unaudited results for the first quarter of 2008. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today. Please go ahead, Eik.
Thank you very much, Svenja. Good morning, distinguished investors, and welcome to Access Bank's scheduled conference call, which we convened to share with you in detail the facts behind our 2007-2008 financial year performance, the year that ended March 2008. We will also take this occasion to present to you highlights of our first quarter performance for the year ended 31st December 2008. Investors, permit me at this juncture to introduce members of the Access Bank team gathered here for this conference call. I will start, you can't see us, but I will start from the gentleman by my immediate right. His name is Herbert Wigwe, the bank's group deputy managing director.
Morning.
The next gentleman, who is about half Herbert's height, Okemuke, executive director of institutional banking.
Morning.
Also here is Sheyi Kumakwai, the bank's chief financial officer.
Good morning.
We have Kevin Ugwokwe, the chief credit risk officer.
Good morning.
We have Dr. Emmanuel Abolo, the chief economist of Access Bank.
Good morning.
Fatai Oladipo, our general counsel and company secretary.
Good morning.
Dapo Olagunju, the treasurer of the bank.
Good morning.
Tosin, who heads our investor relations division. And of course, I am Aigbuje Aigimakwede, the managing director of the bank. Now, I trust that you've all had opportunity to access, pardon the pun, the PowerPoint presentation which we posted on our website this morning. You will find that each slide is numbered for ease of reference, and because I can't see you and you can't see me, I will refer you to the specific slides that I'm speaking to. I would request at this point that we turn to the outline on page 2, or slide 2. Two members of this team will be handling the presentation this morning. I will take us through the operating context under which Access Bank functions, and I will also spend some time talking to strategy issues, particularly regarding our differentiated customer value proposition. The CFO, Sheyi Kumakwai, will then take us through the numbers, as well as talk through the highlights of our Q1 performance. Of course, we will then go into Q&A, where the entire team will be available to respond to any questions you may have. I will ask that you turn to slide 4, which we have termed as fact sheet. And simply put, we just ensured that, we wanted everybody to be on the right conference call by reminding you that it's an Access Bank conference call. So even though the facts are things you may already know, it's a 10 billion total asset bank with shareholders' funds of 1.5 billion. Very fast expansion strategy both within Nigeria and outside Nigeria across Africa in terms of bank and non-banking business. If you then turn to slide 5, the emphasis is simply that our branches now cover the entirety of sub-Saharan Africa in terms of the monetary regions that exist. Indeed, actually, of all the Nigerian banks, all the licensed, the 24 Nigerian banks, we have the largest African footprint if we talk in terms of the Nigerian bank being the parent company. On slide 6, you have an interesting map of Nigeria. Principally, what I would like to mention here is that whilst no nation can claim to be completely immune or insulated from the current challenges that are facing the global financial market, Nigeria is in certainly much better shape than several other countries. external account position, very strong, very robust, and with the capacity to cover at least 5 years of imports, you know, tells you that there's a lot to be confident about. So from a risk perspective, Nigeria actually stands out today for being quite an attractive country to take your risks in. Slide 7 talks about recent developments in the Nigerian banking industry. And if you focus on the right side of the slide, you will simply put and see that in 2004 there were 89, and today there are 24. Access Bank ranks amongst the top 8 of those 24 banks. The 24 banks are essentially focusing or pursuing growth in 5 areas: retail banking, the investment banking area dominated by the capital markets, international expansion within Africa and also beyond, what they call consumer finance, so as distinct from retail banking on the deposit mobilization side, the asset creation for consumers, and electronic banking, cards, ATMs, and what have you. So I guess the billion-dollar question is, how is Access Bank different from all the others? And in page, on slide 9, we begin to answer that question. Now, when you're reviewing the Access Bank target market, you see that unlike a number of Nigerian banks who profess to be retail-focused, we have a primary focus on corporate clients. We ever extend our resources to dominate the retail participants that are strongly linked to our corporate customers. For example, their staff, their shareholders, their consumers, and so on. So we don't pursue a retail bank strategy for everybody. Our retail bank strategy complements our strategy and our focus on corporate customers. Typically, our asset generation or asset creation is focused at large corporates, very large corporates as we call them, that dominate various sectors of the Nigerian economy. It is also important for us to share with you the fact, this is a fact, that the income disparity in Africa, particularly more so in Nigeria, is skewed in favor of the top end of the triangle. In fact, actually, of the 22 million bank accounts that exist in Nigeria today, it might surprise you to learn that 8% of those accounts control 95% of the total deposits in the Nigerian banking industry. Now, whilst the economic empowerment that's taking place in Nigeria is bringing more people into the, if you like, middle portion of that triangle, the disparity is still wide. And so for the near term, and when I say near term, I'm talking 2 to 3 years, if you want to pursue a high growth strategy, if you want to dominate market share of Nigerian banking, you have to play in the high end. On slide 10, you find a Harvard Business School type slide. We're just trying to prove that maybe we remember what we learned. And it simply illustrates that we compete based on quality of service, and our brand is positioned as Africa's bank of best practice. This enables us basically enjoy premium pricing. Now, on the right side of the slide, you will see that if you were to look at a value matrix to customers, Nigerian banks typically are clustered around the middle, which is where you'd never want to be, which is you don't particularly stand for anything to any customer, and you find yourself typically moving to the lower right-hand quadrant or the upper left-hand quadrant, which is basically, you know, dissatisfied customers, either because you are found to be too expensive or a dissatisfied shareholder because you find that the bank that you've invested in is discounting all its income just to retain its customers. Where we want to be is in the upper right quadrant, outstanding relationships whereby we are also, on the basis of value, extracting premium prices. Now on slide 11, we explain how we are different in executing our strategy. Now, the slide is quite detailed, so I will not talk around, take you from point to point on this slide. But basically, if you look at the center of the slide, you see the large corporate, and we say that it's MTN. MTN, the telecoms, the African telecoms giant, and whose principal market share and a lot of their profits are generated from their Nigeria operations. We basically methodically add value to that corporate client by reducing their costs or increasing their revenues. For example, in Nigeria, we have assisted MTN, Celtel, and others to accelerate their base station rollout, which is necessary for good service. Indeed, we have also assisted them create an entire generation of distributors across Nigeria. Basically, through this strategy, we have become Nigeria's leading telecoms bank. Interestingly, with one-third of the resources deployed by those who are, you know, who are termed our competitors. Now, on slide 12, you find the result of this strategy, which we call our One Bank strategy. Basically, slide 12 explains why and how we have grown triple digit across every single important key performance indicator over the past 6 years. The paradox at the same time of doing this is that our costs, when compared to our revenues and the scale of our operations, are coming down. Just 3 years ago, we had a cost-to-income ratio of 88%, and this year, we are at 51%. And you will find that as Shehi talks through where we are going, we aim to be sub-50 this next year, and I mean, this in the December 08 financial year and beyond. We have the most efficient staff and branch productivity ratios of all banks in Nigeria. Frankly speaking, if you follow our strategy, you realize that the more scale we generate on this very efficient base results in a money-spinning machine, which is why we are confident that we will be able to maintain our earnings momentum for a number of years to come. At this point, you know, I would like to invite our CFO, Sheikh Makwai, to take us through the numbers, which flows from slide 13.
Good morning once again. I'll be taking us through the following. We'll look at the 2007-2008 financial performance highlights. We'll also look at the analysis of these financials and what are the key drivers. I'll also take us through the first quarter highlights. I'll move straight to slide 15, which shows the highlights of financial performance highlights of 2007-2008. Now, if you look at that slide, what that slide shows is just the key elements of the income statement and balance sheet. And it shows the trend in for the last 3 years, and also shows the compound annual growth rate. Gross earnings has grown by 108% in that period. Net income has also grown by 103%. Whilst revenue has grown in triple digits, we managed to grow. Our OPEX has only grown in double digits. If you look at the PBT, you find that the PBT CAGR is 313%. I mean, these are some of the points that Mike was mentioning about our ability, you know, to manage our costs while, you know, growing revenues and growing our operations. On the balance sheet, you also see the same trend of triple digit CAGR across most of the indices. I go to slide 16. Now, what you find on slide 16 is essentially the highlight in terms of the performance ratios. If you look at the ratios over the three-year period, cost to income has dropped from 88 to 51%. Non-performing loans has also moved from 12.93 to 3.67%. Capital adequacy, you know, has gone, you know, to 31.8%. Earnings per share from 11 to 172. So what you see over the 3 year period is a continuous improvement in ratios and in performance, you know, from Access Bank. I mentioned earlier in terms of the earnings per staff. I mean, you see it moving from 19 to 36 million per staff. I mean, this is the highest that you'll find in the industry today. I move to slide 17, which essentially highlights, you know, our actual performance vis-a-vis our projections as per the offer prospectus. We achieved 83% of gross earnings target, 96% of PBT, and 107% of PAT. What you find there is that we've been able to manage, you know, costs very well, as well as tax. We had projected a tax rate of 24%, but we achieved 16%. Also on the balance sheet, we achieved 154% of assets and 71% of deposit liability target. I'll move to slide 19, which is a detailed breakdown of how we achieved it. If you look at slide 19, you find that, you know, we've grown our earnings on the back of our funding to support, you know, growth sector of the economy, which was some of the points I was making in terms of where our focus is, the telecom, the oil and gas manufacturer, and FI. We've also grown market share in the investment banking activity. This was a business that we didn't have, you know, last year, but in this year under review, this was a growth area for us. And we, because we won several capital market mandates, which impacted on our revenues. I'll go to slide 20, which is essentially an analysis on the performance by SBU. Our public sector business has contributed significantly to the revenue for the year because our brand network has expanded and we've been able to sign on several state and federal government accounts. Investment banking income also includes fees from major issuance mandates. Treasury Group is actually one of the strongest fixed income desks in the country. The group today has a much stronger capacity for deal execution, especially in the area of corporate finance, given the type of mandate we've won in the last financial year. Also, given that the bank's risk rating has improved, we've been able to penetrate high-end corporate customers, and this has contributed to institutional banking profit. Like I said, retail banking is complementary to what we do on the corporate side, and therefore we don't see significant profit from that area of our business. I move to slide 21, which is an analysis of our operating income versus our operating expense. While operating expense has grown by only 140%, I mean on a nominal basis, revenues have grown by 295%. Essentially, this is also showing you that we are managing, we are focused on managing costs, while also growing the top line. I move to slide 22. What you see on slide 22 is our loan growth, how our loan has looked in the last 3 years, as well as the our portfolio by sector. I mean, if you look at this portfolio by sector, it supports our strategy in terms of the sectors that we lend to. So you see oil and gas, telecoms, manufacturing, very strong. Now, to ensure that we are not just lending, we have significantly strengthened our risk management process in the period. The ERM framework that we developed with KPMG has been implemented. We've hired very experienced people from leading institutions. We are focusing on credit management process, automating the process, and today we started implementing, Basel II. I move to slide 23, which is essentially also continuing on my asset quality. If you look at the asset quality of the bank, the asset quality trend has improved dramatically, significantly, from about 30% NPL ratio. Today we are 3%. And also in terms of provisioning coverage, we are 118% of our non-performing loans. So we have our coverage is very strong. We also have a strong collateralization policy because we have very low level of unsecured facilities. I move to slide 24, which is essentially around our liquidity and funding. Today we have a very diversified and stable funding mix. If you look at the chart that you have in front of you, our balance sheet is very liquid. I mean, and this is not strange, given that in Nigeria you are required to keep 40% of your deposit in liquid assets, and that we have strong customer confidence. I mean, look at, if you see the growth in our deposit liability of about 71%. In terms of how our deposit splits out, we have 36% corporate, individual 36%, FI, and then government 14%. I'll move to slide 25, which essentially shows you in our capital position. The bank capital is still likely tier 1, about 97%, from 90% in previous financial year. We actually have some tier 2 capital from some DFIs. Capital adequacy ratio is at 31%. So clearly, we have adequate capital to support our business. I mean, in the short to medium term, I mean, this is a 3-5 year period. Shareholders' equity has increased by over 500% to 170 billion, by the end of March 2008. I move to slide 26, which essentially just shows us what has happened on the wealth creation capacity for shareholders. EPS has moved from 11 to 173 kobo, nominally, and then pre-tax ROE at 19%, essentially because of the capital that was raised this year. ROE dipped from 20 to 19. But by the end of the financial year, that's December, the plan is that we'll project that will take it to 25%. I will go to the first quarter highlight, which is essentially how the performance of the first quarter has looked. On the first quarter highlight, we've continued to grow like we always projected. Gross earnings grew by 85%, PBT by 98%, and PAT also by 98%. We've continued to witness continuous strong performance from all our operating divisions. Institutional banking division is still very strong, contributing 62% first quarter, commercial bank 26%, and investment bank 12%. We believe that we expect that this trend will continue as we move into the second half of the financial year. I will now hand over to Ike to conclude the presentation.
Thank you, Shay. Distinguished investors, the message is very simple. Nigeria is in a strong economic position. The Nigerian banking sector continues to grow from strength to strength, and across Africa is beginning to rival South Africa in terms of the size of balance sheet and in terms of returns generated. Most importantly, I think that in the fastest growing banking sector in Africa, there is one bank that has also grown fastest, and that is Access Bank. We have put in place all the pillars required to ensure that that growth is sustainable. We have had a very strong first quarter, and we are quite confident that that performance trend will continue. We therefore believe that if you have shares in Access Bank already, now is a good time to buy more. At this point, we would like to take questions, and the entirety of the team gathered here would provide the answers and responses to your questions. I would like to call Zenya to make the arrangements for us to take questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for you for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2 on your telephone. We'll pause for just a moment that everybody can... Our first question comes from Gabo Naklo from Stanlib. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much for the presentation and for the excellent results. As shareholders, we're obviously very happy with the way the bank is going. I was just wondering quickly if you could just touch a little bit on your continental expansion, on how the expansion into Burundi and the Democratic Republic of Congo are going, and in terms of what sort of returns you're seeing out of those markets. Thank you.
Okay. Goliba, I'll take that question. My name is Herbert.
Okay.
As we shared with people about a year ago, what is happening in Congo right now is that we're setting up office in Kinshasa. We expect that the Congo operations in DRC should fully take off by, you know, December this year. We have always said that our entry to every market requires that we basically train our people. So our people are going through training now, culture sharing, visioning, etc. So by the end of this year, Congo should start running properly. We have not yet concluded on Burundi, you know, because it is not immediate for us, because of the crisis that was going on there at that time. But in terms of returns, let me share with you what the group's philosophy is. We believe that any subsidiary we set up should, at the end of the second year, break even. By year three, we expect to start seeing something like a 15% return, and thereafter, you know, returns that are, you know, typical with the country or what we have in Nigeria. So that's basically the type of yardsticks we've basically set for ourselves for every country that we're getting into.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question comes from Paul Okolo from Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Paul Okolo from Bloomberg. I'm in Lagos, Nigeria. I'd like to ask Ike and Herbert what their plans are to grow the bank in Nigeria, considering there are a number of rivals who are ahead of you. What plans do you have to grow in Nigeria? When are you looking at becoming, say, the top bank in the country, or the top, the third largest and second largest, if you know what I mean? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. This is Ike. Today, 99% of our revenues and 100% of our profits come from Nigeria. And therefore, Nigeria still represents for us our primary growth market. And we also believe that it is the platform and the backbone, you know, that provides the skeleton to our continental expansion. Now, competition in banking is a marathon. And as we have found over several years, it's a marathon where several, you know, competitors drop by the wayside for a number of reasons. We feel and we believe that there are certain fundamental planks that will determine those banks that can stay the course of this marathon. These are four in number. They are, in no order of importance, number one, the people you use. That's your human asset. Number two, governance of the entire corporation. Number three, risk management. And number four, capital. Now, you will be pleased to know that in just 6 years, we are now among the top five banks from a capital standpoint. If you did that measurement 5 years ago, we would not even rank in the top 60. In terms of people, we have the most highly trained, the most productive workforce of any indigenous bank in Africa. In terms of governance, we recently underwent a governance audit, not invited. There is a governance rating company called JCI, I believe, GIC, and we received the highest governance ratings of any bank in Nigeria. In terms of risk management, 18 months ago, we started a process of building a very sophisticated and rigorous enterprise risk management framework. Having put the framework in place, we proceeded to approach leading institutions, I wouldn't mention them, but they are not very happy with us, and recruit very strong risk managers to drive this process. In the space of 18 months, we are talking about at least 70 risk managers, experienced and so on. Now, today, comparison with Access Bank and most other Nigerian banks, from a qualitative standpoint, in respect of investment in these pillars, we stand way, way above them. Which is why we believe that as the race gets more fierce, those who have not made these investments will find it difficult to keep up. And indeed, actually, we believe that even 2008 will begin to mark the true test of the long-term sustainability of the strategies being applied by our competitors. And you will find, and it's not uncommon, that when you talk about sizable deals in this country, when you talk about landmark positioning in this country, when you talk about sustainable growth in market share, Access Bank's name keeps popping up. We are therefore confident that in the coming years, Access Bank will take its rightful position among the top three banks in Nigeria.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Olaf Horner from Investec Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good day, gentlemen.
Can't hear anything.
You are breaking up. Zenya, are you there? Zeng, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there, Mr. Ike. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but we can't hear the gentleman from Investec.
No. I just investigate one moment, please. Okay. One moment, we are opening the microphone again. It's open. Mr. Roloff, you can ask your question, please, Mr. Horne.
Thank you. Is this working now?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right, I have a few non-related questions, so if I'll just fire all three of them away. Firstly, we've heard that the weakness on the stock market has been related to margin lending, exposure of the banks to stockbrokers, and perhaps a risk reduction by banks. And perhaps you would just care to comment on Access Bank's risk, direct or exposure, direct and indirect, to stock market assets, please. The second question would relate to slide number 17, where you've shown your prospectus forecast versus the actual attainment. Now, you know, there you have reached your profit goals, which is, you know, well done. But perhaps the shortfall in gross earnings and net interest income, we should maybe just chat about that to some extent. Your total assets are significantly higher than what you budgeted, yet the gross earnings and net interest income are lower. That implies some margin squeeze. Now, there has been some questions asked about the levels of capital raised in the Nigerian banking industry, and therefore people have been wondering whether that would lead to excess competition and therefore significant margin squeeze, and I wonder whether you could just comment whether that is related. And then the third question, just relating to the balance sheet structure and the extent to which your asset position is actually financed by non-deposit liabilities, which are relatively high. And I wonder whether you would want to comment on that, whether you have any plans to increase the percentage of your funding that is actually raised by deposits as opposed to other borrowings. Thank you.
Thank you. We could start with the last question first and then, you know, progress backwards. Kevin, you take the issue of stock broking exposures and so on. Now, the presentation on financials that she did lets you into the fact that we have started a very, very aggressive investment banking business. And as a result of this, there are two mandates, essentially, that are quite lucrative to pursue in the capital markets area in Nigeria. One is the issuing house activity, and the other, as a commercial bank, is what is called the receiving bank activity. The issuing house basically puts together the offer, has responsibility for issuing the prospectus, and markets the offer. The receiving bank acts as the custodial of all the funds raised during the offer, and up to when the offer is concluded and approved by the regulatory authority, the receiving bank is responsible to the subscribers for those funds, and after the funds, well, after the offer has been approved, the receiving bank is responsible to the issuer for those funds. Now, what we have found is that given the large amounts of capital that can be generated, receiving bank mandates are actually probably more profitable than actually the issuing house mandates. And so we have pursued both these activities quite aggressively when we didn't do any before. And therefore, in the course of the last, you know, last financial year, we did at least 7 landmark mandates, culminating in one of the biggest offers ever done in Nigeria, which was the Zenith Bank offer, where we were both issuing house and receiving bank. And the Zenith Bank offer raised as much as 450 billion naira or something like that. Now, the thing about
this strategy is that you generate a lot of liabilities, but given our somewhat moderate stance on risk, we do not lend this money. We invest this money in treasury activities, short-term exposures either to fixed income, that's government government treasuries, or maybe interbank placements on the very short end, you know, 1 week, you know, 30 days. So by their very nature, such markets are the lowest. I mean, obviously they don't yield anything close to what you find in risk assets. Now, our focus assumption were a bit aggressive on the pricing of government treasury bills and other fixed income instruments. And basically, in a bid to meet certain what I can call macro targets set for itself, and with the confidence that at the time, earlier on in the year, that's 2007, inflation was moderated, the central bank basically, you know, brought interest rates down. So this, in essence, you know, will answer the second aspect of your question. But with regard to non-interest-bearing liabilities, whilst we will continue to pursue the receiving bank business, it might not be the case that for the average, if you take a one-year duration, right, we will have the amount of money that we had in our receiving bank accounts as at the end of our financial year. What we are targeting is more in the region of 70 to 100 billion naira core funding from that activity going forward. And like we said, it doesn't really cost us much. We pay one or two. We basically make something like 500 basis points between the cost that we pay to the issuer and the treasury bills that we invest in. But I mean, it's low risk, a lot of money. So I mean, if we can average 100 billion there, you know, we'll make 5 billion naira from that. That's not bad. Now, with regard to the margin squeeze issue, is there a margin squeeze? Yes. And it works in two ways. It works in the context that during our presentation, we shared with you the fact that 95% of the deposits are controlled by 8% of the market. When you have such a relationship, you therefore find that the demand-supply situation for deposits is very price dynamic. And therefore, depositors actually have the power to price at a faster rate than banks have the power to price. In other words, when we are bringing prices down, we do it slowly. When they are taking prices up, they do it quite fast. The second issue, of course, is that on the asset side, whilst we do have the power to reprice, we have the similar dynamic. So we tend to have leads and lags in margins in Nigeria. And we are currently going through, or last year we went through a phase whereby the depositors took up the lending rates, the deposit rates, and the banks were constrained to take up their lending rates. But I can tell you that dynamic has changed this year. Because in the course of the past 3 months, we've taken up our lending rates by 400 basis points. And just like every other bank in Nigeria, whilst our deposit pricing over the period has risen by maybe 100 basis points. So you will find that the net interest margin of banks like Access Bank anyway, actually this year is actually going to improve upon when compared to last year. In terms of excess competition, let me tell you how it's manifesting actually. If you're looking to create assets to the high value or the top names are no longer borrowing for short-term, their short-term requirements because frankly speaking, they are very liquid. Their borrowing needs tend to be expansion-driven, plant expansion, and so on. And therefore, these deals are complex, project finance, syndication, structured finance, and so on. There are not more than 5 banks in Nigeria that can win a mandate because, you know, simply put, you don't put brain surgery in the hands of a GP or a vet. and we happen to be one of those banks. So actually what we find, and you begin to see the tombstones rolling, I mean, what you find is that in the area of asset generation for the top names, it's not that competitive. It's not that competitive. Now, I'll ask Kevin to talk about the stockbroking exposure. Stock market exposure.
Good morning. Now, generally, I would say that Access Bank, we adopt a very cautious approach to lending to the stock market. We have very carefully monitored exposure to the stocks there, and we basically focus on the best value stock with sustainable fundamentals. So today, our aggregate exposure there is something in the neighborhood of just about 30 billion naira, which is less than 10% of our total risk assets. Now, we also have very strong risk management focus on the stock portfolio, including board oversight. It's something the board looks at from time to time to ensure that we watch that carefully. On a daily basis, we monitor the stocks and we do a daily mark-to-market, ensuring that we have adequate margin calls. So at this point in time, yes, there was a blip in the market, there was a downturn, but even during that downturn, we had, arising from a very strong focus on risk management, we had adequate cover on all our facilities. All right, now.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by as we are experiencing a momentary interruption of today's conference. Thank you for your patience and please continue to hold. Go ahead, sir. You are back in the main conference. Go ahead, sir.
Roll off. Sorry about that. Kevin will continue. Kevin was explaining about our exposure to the stock market.
Thank you.
Yeah, hello.
Okay. So basically, we have a daily mark-to-market of our exposure to the stock market, and that enables us to proactively ensure that our customers bring in adequate stock in case there's a downturn, to ensure we have adequate coverage at all times. So when there was a downturn, we, on average, our portfolio had about 120% coverage, and now we already see that it's beginning to rise again. We also ensure that our security is not just to the stock market, but we also ensure that we also take non-stock related security to back our exposure. So generally, I'll say that we have very strong coverage and risk management for exposure to the stock market. Now, we also essentially focus on the best stocks in the market. We avoid high-risk stocks that we already know about, and we basically ensure that. So today, over 80% of our stock, of our exposure, are to the best names, names we typically rank as double A and blue chip names in the market. So generally, we are very comfortable on the stock market.
Of course, the only blue chip stock we can't take is Access Bank because by memo and articles, we are precluded from lending against our shares.
Thank you. So just for clarity's sake, you did say 30 billion naira, 30, right?
30, yes.
And these are all in the nature of loans and advances. This is not on balance sheet risk for Access Bank. This is money lent to clients of yours where they are the beneficial owners. Am I understanding?
Oh yes.
Correctly?
I mean, sorry, Roloff. We do not take direct exposure to the stock market. It's illegal, like, for a commercial bank to do that.
Okay, right, thank you. And I just wanted to make sure that I understood it correctly. Thank you very much.
We'll also add that this figure is pretty much direct and indirect. So it's both the margin trading and those that were secured, loans that were basically secured against stocks.
Thanks.
We do apologize for the inconvenience, but we lost all the signals of person queuing for a question. If you want to ask a question, please press star 1 again. And our next question comes from Barry Ehrlich von Oxus. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. Where do you stand at the end of the first quarter in terms of loans and especially deposits? And what's your deposit target for 2008? What's your target in terms of costs for 2008 or the cost-income ratio? Where do you see that developing throughout the course of the year? And then just as a clarification, touching on the subject you were just discussing, the share proceeds collections amount, can you just explain the footnote in the financial statements which says that the balance was remitted to the issuer by year-end? It sounds as if it should have moved off balance sheet in that case, if I understood the footnote. And if that's the case, why is it still in the balance sheet? Thank you very much.
Let me go to that first. The footnote in the balance sheet should read that the amount was remitted. I mean, the amounts will always be remitted to the issuer, but it was a subsequent event to the So it's a subsequent event. It's not
okay.
You know, and I guess it was just stated there because of the materiality of the amounts. Compared, you know, when you look at it on the balance sheet.
Okay.
Now, with respect to loans and the deposit mix, when you look at our funding structure, you have to bear in mind something. When following a highly successful public offer, where you know we had subscriptions in excess of well in excess of 300 billion naira, and we essentially you know retained 136 billion, based on the fact that that was the maximum we could accommodate given our targeted capital structure over the next 3 years. We took a decision as to what the implications of, say, taking half of the amount of the money that we actually took in would be. And strategically, and in terms of the resources and capital required to play as a top bank in Nigeria, we found that we would actually be adequately capitalized from a risk standpoint, but inadequately capitalized from a strategic standpoint, and that is why we ended up taking 135 billion. So today, our shareholders fund stands at 172 billion naira. Now, we then looked at our funding mix and found that, look, if we ratcheted up our deposit growth at 100% as we've done in prior years, we would have a situation where we would have a lot of excess capital, which we would necessarily be investing in treasury bills and other low-income or low-earning assets. Now, given that the cost of capital is high, we then took a decision that we would fund some of our loans with our capital. And that is why, actually, our deposit growth over the period was 70%. It wasn't an inability, or that was not the limit to which we could grow our deposits, not at all. We actually took a deliberate decision not to go for purchase funds and grow our deposit liabilities. Now, I told you something about a lead and lag in terms of asset creation. The number of asset creation mandates that we have from very, very strong names, both in the oil and gas, telecoms, manufacturing sector, are such that we have the confidence to begin to generate deposits knowing that our asset creation abilities, right, would match them. And for that reason, we are now driving our deposit growth. Now, to give you an idea of the rate of growth of the deposits, in the month of July to date, we have added growth of 2 billion naira a day. I repeat, 2 billion naira a day. If you project over the next 6 months, we are therefore confident that our deposit liabilities will grow by, in the minimum,
200 and 300 billion. So that's anywhere between 80 to 100%. On the issue of the loan side, in 2005, our capital adequacy ratio was almost 30%. Just before we went to the market, our capital adequacy ratio had fallen to 11%. Today, our capital adequacy ratio is about 30% plus. Given our asset creation capacity, even for very, very low-risk conservative borrowers, we believe that we will get back to 15%, which is a point where we are not comfortable, in the next 24 to 36 months once again. So, don't be concerned about our ability to grow the balance sheet. The issue, of course, should be whether you are going to maintain your margins. And if you go back, of course, to our customer value proposition, you will then understand why it is important to be in the upper right-hand quadrant and why every other bank in Nigeria who refuses or who does not have the capacity to operate there will have a margin problem. We can defend our margins because we provide significant value to the customer. And then on the cost-to-income ratio, I think Sheikh can.
Well, on the cost-to-income ratio, I mean, as you find out, we closed the year at 51%. Our target is that by the end of this financial, which is December, we'll achieve a sub 50. You know, that's the target that we've set for ourselves. And moving forward, we are looking at by 2012, we should be looking in the range of 45-46 type of cost-to-income ratio.
But begin to, this is Ike again. Begin to analyze the Q1 figures of Nigerian banks, and you will begin to find that the cost containment challenge is beginning to affect the banks. I mean, frankly speaking, I can't think of another Nigerian bank that has the efficiency, operational efficiency of Access Bank. And therefore, you know, as we grow, what is happening is that for several of the other Nigerian banks, they are not growing profitably anymore. They are growing, but not profitably so. And that is something that we anticipated. And, you know, like I was answering, when I was answering Paul of Bloomberg's question, you know, that is something that we are beginning to see in the marathon. You know, growth has to be profitable growth. And you can actually grow and kill yourself. And we've been waiting for this moment, and now is our time to really stretch.
Okay. Thank you very much. If I may, just a short follow-up. So if you're seeing net interest margin expansion and if your cost income ratio is continuing to fall, should we assume that the return on assets in this fiscal year will be expanding compared to last year?
Correct.
Okay.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question comes from Gabo Naklo from Stanlib. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, everyone. It's Tabo again from Stanlib in South Africa. Very basic questions. I think the first one just comes back to the refers back to the previous question on your cost-to-income ratio. I mean, actually, given the fact that we're seeing quite adverse sort of inflation numbers coming out of Nigeria, particularly coming out of the power generation, what have you, And what I would obviously expect is sort of your staff costs to keep on increasing in line with inflation or perhaps faster than inflation. Would you see yourself sort of trimming down on costs, I mean, to maintain that cost-to-income ratio below 50%? Intuitively, one would assume that, the cost-to-income ratio would have actually increased slightly, given some of the cost pressures the cost pressures sort of affecting you guys and generally the rest of the globe. That's the first question. The second question just relates also to sort of the cost increases, but more so to your loan portfolio. Obviously, given the fact that 15% of your loan portfolio is exposed to the manufacturing sector, and we're also getting reports that the gas price in Nigeria is about to go up by some reports we hear about 200%. Where do you see, do you see actually the manufacturing sector sort of suffering a bit, and for instance, affecting your non-performing ratios? Do you see sort of do you anticipate more sort of a higher provisioning on the manufacturing book? Perhaps you could comment a bit that, given obviously the pressures facing the manufacturing sector. And just finally, as a last question, I mean, just on the impact of the convergence of the year end. I mean, where do you see Access Bank in terms of just assets, and what impact do you think the change to the December year end will have on Access Bank, and perhaps more so on competition, given that obviously the fact that a lot of the banks would actually just increase rates before their year end just to attract deposits. I mean, where do you see Access Bank sitting, and perhaps your outlook on the end of the year picture?
Excellent question, thanks. Herbert will respond to the loan portfolio question, and the chief economist will respond to the convergence of year-end issue. In terms of the cost-to-income ratio and your belief that you expect them to go up, yes, but we have played a counterintuitive strategy to all the other leading banks, which is why we said the market is now playing in our favor. It would go up for a lot of our peers, but if you want to know, our Q1 cost income ratio is 47%. Okay, and you know the reason why I disclose that is for you to understand that the strategy is working. You know, these market conditions, where the robustness of the framework that is driving the bank is being tested, plays to our strategy. We have been making these investments since 2002, right? Okay. A lot of banks are now going to have to start making the investments in the areas of risk management, the investments in the area of corporate governance, right, and the investments in their people, okay? Now, they cannot avoid making these investments. If not, they will die. Okay, so these have actually become fixed cost issues in banking. Right, and they didn't actually look at these issues as fixed cost issues. Now, we have made those investments, so they are sunk. And it is for us to reap the benefits of those fixed costs by putting and, you know, layering a lot of volume through it. Now, the problem that our peers are having is that the more volume they throw on this weak base leads to results, either in lending mistakes, fraud, poor customer service, etc. Okay? So, as far as we are concerned, we don't feel that we have any cost-to-income challenges.
Tabu, you know, in terms of the manufacturing sector, if you remember during Ike's presentation, when he shared with you our unique value proposition, now, the nature of customers that we bank are those type of customers who can basically transfer increased costs to their customers. So that is typically the large corporate. And that is why you would have found out that in the last year, our institutional bank made so much more money than all the other parts of the bank. Now, so the choice of sectors has already taken this into consideration. So, for instance, we have significant exposures to the oil and gas sector, upstream and downstream. We have significant exposure to telecom. We have exposure to cement. In each of these sectors, the names that we play with, all right, are, you know, typically the top three names in each of the sectors. All right, and therefore, their ability to transfer costs, all right, to the ultimate consumer is 100%. You are not going to expect any of those names to have any problems. All right, so it is based on those top three names in each of the specific sectors, all right, that we play in, all right, that we start creating a strategy at the lower markets to support those sectors. So you're not going to see NPL coming from these names, not at all. You know, so in terms of expectations that the increased cost derived from power, all right, would lead to increased non-performing loans for the names that we deal with, it's very, very improbable. At the middle market, yes, it will, all right. People who are taking very huge exposures as far as weak commercial banking names is concerned will see that problem most certainly, all right. But the market in which we play in, all right, and the cash management processes that we put in place to serve that market, all right, is such that we don't expect to see, you know, any problems as far as those markets are concerned.
Okay, thank you.
With respect to the implications of the harmonization or convergence of year end of the of year-end for the banking industry for competition, Ike has just mentioned that for us as a bank, we have very strong fundamentals. We have been building the organization on very strong risk management architecture and platform, and we don't have any problem in that direction. But I must confess that as far as other banks are concerned, there are going to be very, very serious issues. That's because hitherto, many banks have been going to the interbank market to assist one another. So, for instance, if a bank has its year-end as March 31st, another bank has its year-end as June, for instance, then the one that has its year-end as June can easily come and assist the one that has its year-end as March 31st, and vice versa. That is what has been happening. But with the convergence of year-end, we anticipate that there are going to be very serious issues, and many banks are really going to experience very great problems. But for us as a bank, that is not going to be an issue for us.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Our next question comes from Katu Mukuru from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. I hope you can hear me. Thank you. I just had a couple of questions. First, two requests. I mean, you've made numerous comments with regards to your competitors, but one of the big problems I've found in analyzing the Nigerian banking industry is that you do not provide full balance sheet and P&L information on a quarterly basis. Hello? Hope you can still hear me. I noticed that you do not publish full balance sheet and P&L information on a quarterly basis that will allow us to compare. The truth is, we just don't see these numbers. My question to you in regards to this would be, would Access be willing to champion the full publication of balance sheets and P&Ls on a quarterly basis? Also, with regard to the year-end phenomena, one of the biggest problems, again, in terms of analyzing its potential impact on the system is the lack of restated numbers. I would like to know if you plan on publishing restated financials, balance sheets and P&Ls, January to December 07, that would allow us to have a basis upon which we can start forecasting you as you will be publishing. In terms of the, I have two other questions. First one is on deposits. What is your current deposit mix? By mix, I mean your split between time, savings, and demand. I ask this question because I understand the bulk of the pressure on the liability side is coming on the time deposit side, so I just wanted to see your relative exposure, and importantly, how that has evolved from first quarter 09, which is effectively your first quarter 09 to first quarter 08. Last question is on consolidation. I've made several comments with regards to how what we're seeing is a polarization in performances between Nigerian bank performances, and how that would ultimately impact on your thinking in terms of consolidation, i.e. as the weaker players become known, will Access be, is it within Access's strategy to think about consolidating some of the weaker players? Thank you.
Okay, fine. With respect to the request that we champion greater disclosure, you will agree with me that, I mean, of all Nigerian banks, along with maybe one other, Access Bank actually operates at a much higher level of disclosure than several others. It's all part of our investor relations framework. And it's all part of, our migration towards best practice. Now, it would actually interest you to know that we are actually the ones that are coordinating and driving the process whereby the issue of harmonization of practices with regard to year-end accounting policies of banks and publications, right, are being undertaken. There are various circulars, that have been published by the Central Bank in this regard. And one of the things that the Central Bank actually has thought about is whether they would make balance sheet information of banks available maybe on a quarterly basis, maybe on a monthly basis, as you have in certain countries. And these are things that are still under discussion. I think that there was one worry which was that since the system still had a few fragile banks, if the public had access to the information of a few fragile banks, it might lead to confidence issues which could affect banks that were quite robust. And that was why the central bank did not accelerate any progress in terms of that initiative. But it's something that we will look at, and if we can, we'll get there. But the regulations in Nigeria do not require banks for now to publish balance sheets and P&Ls in detail as at quarterly. But then, in fact, there would be a problem, because to do so, you would require central bank approval. You know, and the process of obtaining central bank approval would, you know. But these are things that we would actually sit down and we'll look at, you know. But it's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
In terms of our mix.
Yeah, it's just to the point that. Yeah, I can just follow on that. It's just to the point that, from our perspective, being banks analysts, it's hard to understand how a bank really performs till you see its balance sheet.
We know. We understand. We understand the issue clearly. We understand the issue.
Thank you.
With regard to the current mix, as at our year end, I think the split was something like, in the true sense, when you look at our balance sheet, you see, when you see under time deposits, it includes both call accounts and purchase deposits with a tenor of 30 days and longer, right? And it's important that we differentiate these figures. The call accounts you see in our books really are restricted deposits, or restricted deposits in the form of covenants with borrowers, you know, either for as part of cash flow waterfalls in project finance deals, or for trade finance transactions, build ups towards, you know, the confirmation of an LC, etc., etc. In our books today, therefore, our demand deposits, which are our lowest cost deposits, would be at least 50% of our total deposits.
60%.
And our purchase funds, 50, at least, at the minimum. And our purchase funds would be another 50%. I think that's the split, something like that. 50-50. In terms of projections, how it's going to go, for us, the growth that we see, or the growth that we pursue, is less purchase funds. We will continue to attract deposits, but it's more our market share of the sales revenue generated by these customers that we're lending to. And, you know, once we play the value chain strategy that's contained in the first half of our presentation, and we get more and more effective at it, you know, we will generate, you know, current account balances from these customers who are also borrowing from us. That's our strategy. Then on the last issue of consolidation, I think that there are two important factors at play here. The first is that given the recapitalization, the recent recapitalization by most banks, all the banks that would really be attractive consolidation partners, right, have all the capital that they need, at least for the near term. And this has therefore, you know, given a lot of confidence to their egos, or assuage their fears about their ability to compete going on into the future. So their responsiveness at this point in time to merger and combination entities would not particularly be too warm, you know, because you have a lot of guys who are strutting around saying, I have $1 billion in capital. I mean, why should I merge with you, you know? So to be honest, we don't see much impetus at this time for those deals. Now, if a deal gets done, yes, then you can find a lot of activity. But, you know, as far as we are concerned, we have to focus on our organic game plan and ramp up, such that if that deal then gets done by one bank, you know, we'll be well placed, you know, to lead another deal. But the most important thing you should ask yourself is, why would anybody be merging with another bank given its current market conditions? Is it for branches? Is it for customers? Is Is it for people? And so on. I think that you would find that the challenges facing banking today, right, are such that you are looking for capacity, not network or reach anymore. And therefore, the principal drivers of a consolidation will be those banks that have capacity in terms of people. And we happen to be one of those strongest banks. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Thurston Goliath from Renaissance Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I've got two questions. One is a follow. Well, one is a follow-on from a question that Cato just asked. And obviously you answered part of it, or some of it. Regarding, I suppose, corporate action. Basically, the take away from your answer was that you don't see a merger with a what you consider to be an attractive partner to be on the cards, or an acquisition for that matter, but with potentially less attractive banks who may not be around, let's say, in 12 to 18 months' time, would you be looking to acquire their deposit bases, their branches? I heard what you said about people being important, but that, I suppose, is tied into the scramble for deposits. And then tied to that, do you have sufficient capital to actually, or are you keeping powder dry for that scenario? The second question is really on what is happening to those deposit rates. Obviously, they've been moving up. And maybe if you wouldn't mind just giving us a bit of insight of, firstly, where you see them going come end of the year. Because I think a lot of people are worried about the squeeze in the net interest income because of these rising deposit rates. Thank you.
Okay. In terms of the corporate action and the, if you like, the less attractive banks, I explained to you that 95% of the bank industry deposits come from 8% of the accounts. So the truth of the matter is that, you know, acquiring an ailing bank is not going to, you know, generate for you much in terms of deposits. It can generate for you spread, but given the rate at which Nigerian banks have expanded in branches and building up branches, for those who, even beyond those who did combinations, I'm not too sure what some of these banks would do. Now, there are regional strengths of some of them. Take, for example, a Wema Bank has regional strengths in the Southwest. A Spring Bank has regional strengths also in the Southwest and to, you know, maybe some parts of the East. Unity Bank has regional strengths in the North. And therefore, if you want to play a game whereby, you know, you want to basically grow your market share in one of these regions, it is a way to go. But then when you ask about the cost of the deal, given the poor asset quality, you know, and generally the goodwill that will be generated from such a deal, I'm not too sure whether it might not be cheaper to just go and do these things yourself in terms of organically. Mm-hmm. Okay? But if you can do a deal and it's priced well, yeah, I mean, I guess, but the amount of time and effort it takes to do these transactions in Nigeria could distract you from your organic growth strategy and make life much very difficult for you. I must be very, very honest that without the CBN regulation prescribing that mergers and acquisitions were a way to meet the 25 billion minimum capital requirement, I'm not too sure whether you would have had anything like the number of deals that have taken place in Nigeria up to this point in time. Now, for the deposit rate, I I think from what we have seen that you have two types of situations. You have banks who are quite illiquid today, and therefore to maintain their liquidity on a day, on an ongoing basis, have to reprice their deposits in line with what the market is dictating, given this hysteria of December 31st. So in a sense, they themselves are forcing up the issue. So I would think that the margin for taking deposits for a sensible bank in Nigeria stands at about 17.5. Anything above that is an illiquid, or is tending towards illiquid. And I think that the market, you know, at that point and at that threshold, seems to be coming to its senses, to be honest. So that initial ratcheting up between 14 and 17 seems to be getting sticky towards 18. That is one. The second thing is that I think that even though there is a madness, Nigerian banks, I mean, the beautiful thing about this December, this common year end, is that it's going to bring maturity to our system. There is a lot of irrational behavior in losing money to look big. There's a lot of irrational behavior in taking risks on your balance sheet and with your liquidity, right, just so that you can be number something come December 31st. So we are actually beginning to see a cutback of irrational behavior, which you will also expect to see in the figures that you will see banks declaring over the next few quarters. You saw, I mean, anyway, I won't mention anything. So where do we see the deposit rates come December? You are going to see them hovering around 18 for the very, 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 very informed investors, but they would average probably something like 14, you know, generally in the market. So I don't think that the doomsday scenario will take place.
Where are you on that sort of spectrum? I mean, where are you? I mean, obviously it's a case of where your mix is, but I mean, are you towards the lower end of that? In other words, paying the highest rates? Are they around about 14%, or are you sort of towards the middle of that sort of 14 to 18 band for deposits?
What we have is, there is, you see, depending on what part of the country you are, if you are raising deposits in Lagos, they are operating at the highest rates. The further away you move from Lagos, the deposits become less expensive. Now, Lagos does generate the greater proportion of deposits, right? And if you are extremely desperate for a liquidity standpoint, obviously you are going to that market. Mm-hmm. That is one. The other thing, of course, is that if you are raising deposits from financial institutions, you are going to pay the top rate.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, we don't raise deposits from financial institutions.
Okay.
We don't take money interbank. We're actually a net placer interbank. Actually, most of the top 8 banks in Nigeria take money from us. Okay? Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure you found that very interesting.
Wow.
Okay. So, in terms of our deposits, if you take the basket of our time deposits, I think we'll probably be about 14.5% now. Mm. And I'm excluding from that time deposits as a result of lending. If we bring in restricted time deposits, we will probably fall to about 11%.
Okay.
Now, something very key that you must note, and I'm going to give you some information now. You see, Nigeria last year did, $30 billion in trade imports. Was it 30 billion? $25 billion in imports, okay, via letters of credit or invisibles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Are you there?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Through
yep.
the banking system, okay? We have, last year we had about 5% of that business. Our game plan this year, and we project that the country will do about $35 billion, is to do about 9 to 10% of that business. Now, the top five banks in that business account for about 40% market share, or 45% actually. Okay? To drive this business, you have to lend. But you have to lend dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Either in terms of cash or on a contingent basis in terms of guarantees and confirmation.
Yeah.
Now, the margin squeeze is not as heavy in this segment. And this is actually where, this is where we are kings. Okay? And remember I told you that today, if a company wants to open a complex letter of credit that will enable it to basically build a factory and that will cost it $200 million, if you give that letter of credit to a bank to handle simply based on price, it is possible that the cement factory you are trying to build will end up being a sweet manufacturing factory. Okay? And it might take you 4 years to do it instead of the 12 months you plan to do it because you use the wrong bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an area where we are growing our loan book. And we are growing it methodically to the very best names with a reasonable margin. So, net-net, I mean, we feel that we are fairly insulated from the challenges of margins.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take our final question from Shruti Patel from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Ike, Shay, Herb and the team. Shay, I have a question for you on the tax rate. In 2007, your tax rate was about 25%, and I've noticed in 2008 it's come down to 16%. I was just wondering if you could explain that and also what you expect going forward. Thanks.
All right. Essentially, we did a lot of, this financial year, we did a lot of bond trading transactions, and as you know, in Nigeria, interest income on bonds are exempted from taxes, and this, essentially, is what contributed to that. We had budgeted to plan about 24%, but we ended up doing 16%. So it was that, singular tax exemption for bond income that gave us that type of tax rate. In terms of what we are going to do going forward, we see it in the region of 20-22%. Over the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, we don't know whether, this extension is going to continue, but that's the plan.
Great, thank you.
So, Svenja, that was the final question?
Yes, that was the final question. I would like to turn the conference back to you for concluding remarks. Please, go ahead.
Distinguished investors, we spent an hour and a half in very good company. On behalf of the board and management of Access Bank, we would like to express our sincere appreciation for your honoring our invitation to participate in this conference call. I do hope that we were able to provide you with answers and clarifications to all the questions and issues you sought. And most importantly, we want you to leave knowing that the Access Bank you are talking to today and this morning is even much stronger than the bank you invested in a few months ago. And certainly, we look very confident going into the future with regard to our future performance. Thank you and have a great day. Bye.
That concludes our conference for today. For those you wish wishing to review the conference, the replay facility will be available until the 5th of August 2008 and can be accessed by dialing 00442078061970 and entering access code 9575422 followed by the hash key. Thank you for your participating. You may now all disconnect.